Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 29th of June, recording at 7:24 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this is before the close on Wall Street, but there's plenty going on here to comment on today. First, a quick look at the highlights so far. In terms of stock markets, well, the Asian stock markets were weaker following Wall Street's sell-off last night. The big hit was in China, though, down 4%, and that broke down through the A-share index lows that we had seen over the last month. In Europe, stock markets were again quite weak overall, and declines of as much as 5.45% for the Spanish IBEX index, and most of the declines were over 3%. Now, in the Americas, we have a similar action, although as I speak, Wall Street's clawed back from the worst decline that we've seen for the day so far. We have had the S&P down to, oh, I think 1041, 1042, it's currently 1048. That's down 2.5%. Now, against that background, the long-dated government bond prices are mostly firmer. Gilts are an exception. They're not as firm as they have been recently, but they've had a heck of a run, so they're still steady here. The U.S. dollar is up a little bit, not as much as we have seen in other sell-offs of this magnitude. The gold price has been swinging around in a moderate range, high as 1245, as low as 1227, currently just 1241. Right now that's up $2. And the other precious metals, though, are a little bit easier on the day, particularly platinum and palladium. They're down 20 each as I speak. Copper has fallen back below the $3 level, down to $2.94. Nickel's been hit hard. It had a good bounce a couple of days ago, but it was wiped out yesterday, and another sell-off today, taking it down to 19,075. It's pretty much a blowout day. The crude oil price is down 238 to 75.87, and white sugar, which had been quite strong or very steady earlier, in the last month, that's weakened fairly sharply in here today. Okay. So what's going on overall? Well, obviously, fear is very much in the air. We saw that starting with Monday a week ago when we had the downside key day reversals on Wall Street and a few other markets, and the upside key day reversal on the VIX index. And it's been pretty much all selling pressure ever since, with stock markets in the West, at any rate, falling on pretty much a daily basis, or closing unchanged at near unchanged at best. The Asian stock markets, the emerging Asian stock markets other than China, had held up much better, with the Philippines actually nudging to a new high, Indonesia testing its high, so did Thailand, so did Malaysia, so did India. So it's pretty obvious where investors want to go and what would lead on the upside were we getting a global upside move. But the fact is that the Wall Street leash right now is decidedly negative. And the best thing that can be said about this technical outlook is really that it's beginning to appear somewhat overextended with today's downward acceleration. But all those who work with charts will note that the S&P is challenging its lows of the last couple of months, and it's come down with a bump. So it would take an optimist to expect more than temporary support down here. But since anything can happen in markets theoretically, I would explain what Wall Street would now have to do to I think to ease the concern that we're going to see a further downward break. And one, we would need to see an upward dynamic off this low once again, or at least, and I should say, and or a move back up through the highs of the 21st of June, that's Monday a week ago, when the downside key day reversals actually occurred. So we're currently a long way from that, and the real risk is still to the downside. There's no evidence that this move is over, although we do know that it is becoming somewhat overextended. Now, how will all of this play out? Well, I think first we have to view it in perspective. We had an exceptional stock market recovery last year from the lows that we saw in the first quarter of March. I think that dazzled even the bulls, and it looks like we're getting a correction to scale. So we've got a lot more volatility in this environment than we had previously, and it looks like that's going to continue for a while. I would, well, my hunch is that this move is really the latter stages of a big reaction correction, downward correction, and it's lengthy sideways ranging phase, which could easily last a few more weeks or a few more months. But my hunch, and it can be no more than a hunch at this stage, is that we will see stronger markets before year end, sometime in the fourth quarter. And that's something I've been saying for a while now, as you may recall. Well, why? Why might we see that rather than a test of the March lows? And my answer to that is that those were depression discounting levels. Now, some people are talking about a depression. I think that's way over the top. I think that the monetary policy changes were rapid enough to avoid some of the worst errors that we saw back in the 1930s. But of course, when you get all that quantitative easing, there are other people, and not least the Austrian economists, who would say that, well, you're creating new errors, just different errors. But overall, I think what we do know from this environment, and what's really being discounted here right now, is deleveraging. And deleveraging by the consumer, deleveraging by governments, deleveraging by corporations where necessary. Now, that's basically constructive for the long term. To have sustainable growth, we do need to see a much healthier balance sheet from government to households, with corporates in the middle. And I think we're moving in that direction, but it's a painful and slow process. And markets are, of course, now discounting the slower growth prospects that people have been talking about for a while. So that's the overall environment we have. But will this turn into a resumption of the bear market? Again, I don't think so, not with interest rates staying low, monetary policy remaining accommodative. That's short-term interest rates. Long-term interest rates are also extremely low, with the U.S. 10-year Treasury bond yield down at the 3% level or a little lower. That is not the background for a bear market, in my view. And if it got back down to 2%, I'd be a little bit more worried. That's the low that we saw back in the fourth quarter of 2008. But that's a long way off at this stage. I'd be more worried if the 10-year Treasury bond yield was above the 4% level, which it was testing a few months ago. Because, well, that would indicate that growth was stronger. It would also indicate that investors were discounting rising inflation pressures. They're certainly not doing that here today. Also, the TED spread, I've posted that chart today. It doesn't look like anywhere near the danger levels that we had seen back in 2007 and 2008. And more importantly, the yield curve, which is still really in very healthy territory, way above the zero level, that has caused us problems, caused stock markets problems and economies problems in previous cycles. So that's my brief on this. I think we're seeing a correction to scale to that very strong recovery that we saw in 2009. My guess is that we've already seen the most of it. Sentiment, though, will deteriorate as markets go lower. That always happens. But you know the old adage, which has been proved over and over again, it's better to buy fear and to sell euphoria. And fear is returning in this environment. Now, looking at the currencies, there's not a great deal going on here right now, except the yen is much too strong for a Japanese economic recovery and a Japanese stock market recovery. So our hopes a while back, a few months ago, for a better performance by Japan were all predicated on the basis of a weaker yen, and we're not seeing that right now. What about gold? Well, I still remain a little bit cautious here in the short term as far as gold's concerned. In terms of opinions overall, gold is about the only asset class that where people seem to be uniformly bullish, except for a few dwindling band of die-hard gold skeptics, gold denouncers. But pretty well every other investor is saying, well, the one thing that they actually believe in is gold, not without some good reason. And all the money printing that's taken place certainly provides a seedbed for a cyclical bull, a beg your pardon, a secular bull market, which we have been seeing in gold over the last 10 years, and I think it has further to go. In the short term, I'd be a little bit more cautious. We've had the two downside key day reversals in US dollar terms, and the seasonal factors are less favorable. It may be a little bit of a crowded pitch in the short term. That shouldn't worry long-term holders of physical bullion, though. And on that note, well, I think I want to see what tomorrow brings, and that's what I'm going to do. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.